Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I think plus minus kind of tell you a lot.
Murray steps back. Bang! 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 Exclamation point!
The plus minus statistic.
It's a stat that tells the truth.
Are you a believer in that statistic?
You tell me. I know it's good to be a plus.
It's Warriors plus minus.
Plus minus, plus minus.
Hello and welcome to an early June edition of the Warriors Plus Minus podcast. Tim Kawakami with me, just a quick check-in on a Warriors offseason that, as we're always reminded when they're eliminated, you know, earlier in the playoffs, although second round, you get an extra month, but it's kind of a long waiting period to the draft and free agency. It's not like the years when they were in the final four straight years, and it was like, remember, it was like parade, but they had like the final draft workouts as they were doing the parade.
And Bob Myers just like lost years of his life for those those seasons because he was just dying trying to. They were all their executives were at the combine during like the Western final, right?
Yeah,
it was like it was crazy double duties, but all good. They don't have any of that right now. I'm sure they'd love to be involved now, but they are.
It's funny because I'm covering the Thunder. I'm out here in Indy. Maybe we'll talk a little finals as it relates to the Warriors. But covering the Thunder, not only are they dealing with that, right, and this is the first year that they've had to deal with this in this kind of iteration of the Thunder, but Sam Presti stockpiled so many picks, they have two first rounders, and so all their draft people are in, and they're trying to figure out, okay, when is our facility being used to practice for the NBA finals, when is it being used to, you know, put late lottery picks in here, because it's an even extra layer to it, because it's like they have important draft picks while also, you know, competing in the finals.
And varied ones, right, at different slots, and they could hold different groups of players in for both
they
of them.
They almost had the seventh pick where, remember the Sixers, they had their top six protected pick for the Sixers, and when the Mavs and I think Spurs jumped up, for a brief second they had the seventh pick. Because it pushed Philly to seven. Yep. It was this like huge moment for them. But then Philly also jumped up. So anyway, I'm sure this is what the people want to hear about. The Thunder just like, you know, their pockets overflowing with first
problems.
Rounders.
The Thunder have too many things they have to think about right now. It's all poor Thunder. But no, it's very similar. It's even higher degree than the Warriors were. I wonder if like they're like, hey, Bob Myers, you're here covering the finals. How did you schedule this out? I mean, like, I'm sure there's some questioning about that.
Yeah, Bob.
But we know the Thunder.
Bob says I retired. That's
exactly. I don't want to even think about it. And I don't know, Sam. You know Presti way better than all of us. I don't know if he's that like, hey, I want to ask everybody how to do this. He's probably got a lot of it locked down, all on his own.
Yeah, he's got his scout squad in here, which, by the way, includes Nick Collison, former Thunder players, one of their college scouts in the Big 12 area.
Thunder plus minus. Thunder plus.
Well, okay. I mean, okay. You're watching this series. Mm-hmm. You're watching this playoff run by the Thunder. They, they had the 68-win season. They looked a little wobbly in the second round, almost a little vulnerable at the same time that the Warriors were facing the Wolves. And you were going, wondering, hey, had Steph been healthy? Had they been able to get by the Timberwolves? As the Thunder was struggling with the Nuggets, you were wondering, you know, how could a conference finals go? As you're seeing more of this, as you see them roll through the West Finals, and we'll see, it's 1-1 in the series, but they controlled a series as much as you can with it being 1-1. And you look forward, and you know they can bring their whole team back next year. How far away do you feel this Warriors team is, which probably didn't get the answers that they wanted in the second round because of the Steph Curry injury?
Two things. I think the first one you might argue with is I don't think the Thunder are unbeatable. They've already lost game one. Now, they led the game for all but 0.3 seconds, but they did allow that comeback to happen. Yeah. They had some issues defending the Pacers. They do have some rebounding issues when they go certain ways. They're really, really good. They're defensively incredible. and they're going to be tough for anybody to win four or seven games against. But they are not unbeatable. I'm gonna put, they are not unbeatable. I don't think the Warriors would have beat them, but they, you know, they've played them close at times. There's ways they could have, you know, figured out some things, I think, to at least make a series competitive. The point with the Thunder, though, is they're just going to get better. They're not, they're going to get better by doing nothing, just by maturing, right? Just by Chet Holmgren putting – he's got to put 20 pounds on, right? 30 pounds on. He does get shoved around. He's so skilled, but they're so young. Only Shea is even in the beginning of his
prime. And he's 26.
Yeah, all these other guys are not even in their primes yet. They can make some moves. They're going to get hit with some of the luxury tax stuff.
But they're 2 years away from some financial trouble. With this summer, Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren are max extension eligible. They actually have the same agent, Bill Duffy. You assume they're going to get that. And then Shea's super max will kick in. So, like, 2 seasons from now is when the big money kicks in, and I think they're going to have to be creative and probably lose some rotation pieces. But as it sets up next season, if you know, they can run it back, basically. And as you mentioned, be better.
And even if they want to start moving some guys, they got the picks. They've got, I mean, they could just keep reinvesting in the roster. That got Cason Wallace, who obviously can play more than he, you know, he's due to be a 30-minute guy in the NBA, not a 22-minute guy in the NBA. They can make picks. They've got that, you know, the lottery pick that didn't even play this season. I forget his name, but I think they really want him to
play. Popich.
Yeah, Popich. They are a smart franchise. These are all things that you're going to concur with, I know, but – I just say they're weaker right now than I kind of thought they would after winning 68 games. That offensive stuff, there's still some issues with that. There's still some times when I'm not sure Jalen Williams – no, he's had a good series so far. There's times I'm not sure that he's a lead dog when Shea is out. It's minor. You know, he's really good. There's times the ball goes to, you know, it ends up in Dort's hands a lot at the end of games. The ball ends up in Caruso's hands a lot at the end of games. This is just, again, these are peripheral stuff, but they're a little weaker this year, right now, maybe, than I thought.
Yeah, I mean, they almost lost to Denver.
Yeah, stronger, and no one else is getting stronger the way they're getting stronger. So I think between them and the rest of the league will only increase. So they give them, you know, they get the title this year. They're only going to be more formidable for the next 3, 4, 5 years. So that's I'm looking at it. Just, I think they could have been picked off. Yeah, they almost got picked off by Denver.
Yeah.
And if not for a couple injuries to Denver, where their guys were, and Aaron Gordon for sure was less than what he had been early in the playoffs, they might have lost. But even then, I mean, we all would have said they're the favorites for next year. Like, there's no question they're the favorites for next year.
Yeah, they will be. You know, their offense is not, you mentioned it, their offense is flawed at times, and I still think they don't have your more traditional, like, number two type score. But what makes them so historically great is the defense is historically great. And that they, you know, as you wonder how the Warriors might have operated in a theoretical conference finals against them, how my question would have always been, how would the Warriors have scored enough against just like the Bulldogs everywhere?
They would have turned it over like crazy against that team. The passes that the Warriors throw.
And what you're seeing right now with what Halliburton's dealing with and what the Pacers are dealing with is, you know, Halliburton's run through the East included the Knicks series where, remember the storylines in that series were, how do you pick, or, you know, the Knicks were having trouble having Brunson and Towns on the floor at the same time. It was great for their offense, but it was just, it gave Carlisle and Halliburton places to target. That is one of the Thunder's major, major strengths in a series is zero weak links defensively. Their star guard is 6'6", you know, rangy steel hound. You can't just target him. And then everybody else is either an all defensive type player or at least an average to above average defensive player. And to me, that would be the concern as you map out moving forward as time helps the Thunder grow into their prime and time hurts the Warriors growing out of their late prime. That's a concern on one side, but then on the other side, I would almost throttle it back to, you know, those prime Warriors years, even the Durant years, where it was always, you know, Daryl Morey either way. Like, some teams just said, hey, we're going to take a couple years off, build to try to, you know, build back up for the post Durant Warriors run, basically. And Daryl Morey just kind of full throttled it up and obviously never took them down, but at least created some really good series. I still think it's fine for the Warriors to go into next year, like, you know, with the basketball world being like, look, we don't think you have a legitimate shot to take them down in a series, but be a good, you know, competitive West Conference finalist. And also, I mean, we saw it with Boston this year. Boston won, what, 65-ish games, won the title, came into this year as overwhelming East favorites. And I'm not, you know, predicting a catastrophic type injury like Tatum had. But even before the Tatum injury, the Knicks looked like they were probably going to beat the Celtics.
Yeah, I agree.
So stuff happens in the league. And I think as the Warriors just have to just build themselves up as the best version of themselves. Even if I think we would both admit that's not, I don't see any scenario this summer where we're going into next year, me and you are predicting a week before the season, like they're going to win the West.
No. But you have Houston getting better. I know the Warriors beat them in seven, but Houston getting better. San Antonio theoretically getting a lot better. And we can talk about who might end up with the Spurs. I am thinking of a possible former Warrior player who you know very well might end up there. Like these are all things, but you keep trying. Especially Steph Curry, you play it out. We've talked it a million times. They're not moving off the Steph Curry era. When you have Steph Curry and he's one of the top six or five or four players in the league, which he was again this season, you keep pushing it, and you don't have to have an 80% likelihood of winning a championship. If you have a 10% likelihood of winning a championship and you have Steph Curry, you keep going with it, and you try to make it 11% or 12%. And if something happens to someone else, you know, what if the Pacers just said, hey, forget it, we're not as good as Boston this year, forget it, let's just trade Halliburton. You know, like I respect the teams, like you mentioned, Daryl Morey in Houston. So let's go as hard as we can with the players that we got. We're not going to – you can't always collect players like this. And certainly the Warriors can't ever have a Curry era again. This is it. And I'll throw one more other thing. Again, I'm not saying – and please don't anyone think I am saying that the Warriors would have beaten OKC this season in the playoffs. I do think they had a shot. I do think they've always defended Shea pretty well. Like they just have ways – Moody's guarded them well. They have some guys they could have thrown at him. Draymond seems to have a pretty – I always say with the Warriors and Draymond, if he knows where the ball's going, they're tough on that kind of team. Their problems are with the Denvers or sometimes with LeBron. Like, they don't know where the ball's going. And then they can get torched. If they know where the ball's going, Ja is that way. Shea, there's a few others. Brunson, they've defended pretty well, if I remember correctly. Again, that's another Moody defensive assignment. They're pretty good at it. So
Brunson, I'm not saying they may be the guy he's defended best.
That's a perfect time. Moody. You know, those kind of shifty, physical kind of
not balls. That quick.
Yeah, important. Exactly. Not that quick. Definitely. Moody can get time against. They're not bad at. Again, they're not better than these guys, but they're not bad at. So if I'm the Warriors and if I'm healthy, you know, and that's going to be a big coin flip with Steph and Jimmy and Draymond, you know, the guys going in their late 30s, you still like that trio a lot against anybody and okay, you know, feasible against some of the other teams. You have to do it, and you think you can try to get one or two players. What do you think? I've kind of changed my idea on what I think they're going to pinpoint this season. I've always thought they were going to try to get that six-man, fifth-man who can play with a Butler unit, wing kind of distributor. You know, again, I don't know. It doesn't have to be an expensive player. It has to be the right player. I've said Bruce Brown multiple times. He might be too expensive. I don't know. But that kind of player, I've said stretch five before. I don't think it's going to be stretch five now. I don't think it's going to be Brook Lopez. I think they're going to try to lean on Quentin Post. Again, someone could have been available, but I don't think they're going to spend whatever capital they have, like the big stuff, which is the Kuminga sign and trade if they can do it, or a future first round. You know, the big stuff, I don't think they're going to choose to spend it on a stretch five. I think maybe like a workman-like five, maybe, or just bring Looney back. And I think there's a lot of hopes on Quentin Post.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, there is, you know, you've talked to people there that think Quentin Post showed a lot in the like last couple months of the regular season. I know that when they when teams, and I say teams, Houston in the first round decided to put wings on Post and center on Moody, there's kind of a belief that that screwed them up a little bit. Not only was it the playoff environment, the physicality. I mean, we remember that series. It was a wrestling match, but particularly that strategic deployment is something I know that the staff and Moody and Post, like that is the target work this summer, is to work on how best for those two young players to deal with that type of situation, with the belief that that will be a lot of what they face moving forward, is wings on Post, bigs on Moody. But there's also belief that Post is like, he's a real knockdown 7-footer shooter, which is rare in the league. And, you know, I know there was some thirst for Nikola Vucevic at the deadline that I think was, you know, maybe a little bit more from like the coaching side than like the front office seemed to sour on that idea by the end. And, you know, they pulled the trigger on the Butler move. But I mean, would Nikola Vucevic have changed their playoff fortune?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think there's just some concern about how he would have defended. Now, Brook Lopez is an interesting name, because if Brook Lopez is the guy he was a couple of years ago, where he's hitting threes and protecting the rim, that is very different than of Nikola Vucevic. So I do think that that player would really help, especially in a Kuminga environment, right? I think part of the tough fit of Kuminga over the years has been the inability to have a stretch five next to him. But they, the Warriors, at front office, as you've seen, has shown that they don't want to invest too heavily in the center position, knowing that when the season is on the line, when the games matter, Draymond Green will mostly be the center.
Exactly.
And so they have two guys who I think are going to be on the roster next year, and Quentin Post and Trayce Jackson-Davis, that are on the cheapest style of NBA deals, which are second round minimums. And we'll see what happens with Looney. We'll see. I mean, I think the right young center could be targeted. But, you know, those that isn't necessarily easy to find or easy to acquire.
Yeah, I mean, what's the Gafford has been thrown out is something that's like, I don't know that they're in that market if it's going to cost a first-round pick, right?
You know, the other thing with centers that, you know, you hear a lot when you bring up names with them is like, you know, Steve Kerr's system is not simple. You know, you say, like Nick Claxton, for example, that seems, young center, rim protector, some juice, some athleticism. It's like, okay, Nick Claxton, run the DHO game, do the pin down screens, do the, you know, be Kevon Looney's, you know, and it's just like a lot of times, I mean, look, James Wiseman had other issues, obviously, like his career still has not gone on track, but that was some of the problem, was just, you know, the read and react Steve Kerr system sometimes is not conducive to young, you know, rim protecting centers who've played the pick and roll lob game their whole career. And that, you know, it's an issue that the Warriors have within their roster building. And as Steve Kerr has continued to suggest, they're not going to change who they are if they still employ Steph Curry and Draymond Green.
Yeah. Draymond is another one. You know, we've talked about how he somewhat blocks Kuminga. He does. Like, if Kuminga's going to be a four, Draymond's a four. If Kuminga's a four and Draymond's a five, that's not a great spacing situation. And then you still have Jimmy Butler, so you're going to sit Jimmy Butler there. Like, there, Draymond does, he gives you so much, obviously, right? He's just been so important to them for so long, so important to Steph. But he does limit to what you can do at center, and you wouldn't think Looney is a great fit, but because of the stuff you're talking about, the dribble handoffs, the ability to move to the right spot at the right time, the ability to rotate with Draymond, it is limited skills offensively, but it does fit in a lot of ways. And you can't just say, okay, you know what? Nick Claxton can do that. You don't know that. It's hard to know that. Probably can't know that. I keep going to Bogut, keep saying how hard center is to play in the Kerr system. And he was warning that about when, you know, even when they took Wiseman, he goes, this is going to be hard. It's going to be really hard. And it was impossible for Wiseman. So you know, there could be a center, there could be somebody. I'm just saying it's not going to be, you know, I don't think, you know, Markkanen might not even be available. We know they wanted him last summer. I don't think
Markkanen is his contract number right now.
The contract number is crazy, and it would take all this stuff. It would take moving assets into it for multiple firsts, and I just don't think they're going to do that. Like, that's – I thought they might re-engage on Markkanen. Obviously, that would take Butler, though, as we've thrown out, and I don't think they're moving Butler for Markkanen. So,
I mean, I think you have a younger player if you have Lauri Markkanen, but you don't have a better player that's going to win you more playoff games. Yeah.
And it is a little weird that he's not played an important NBA game his entire career. You know, he's making 44. You know, that's not his fault, but it's just like, I'm not sure about – I want to see – what would that look like in the playoffs? I don't know. And he's making 40. So – that one might be off the board now. So I'm not sure.
46 next year.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable.
And that's huge because part of the appeal of Lauri Markkanen last summer was the idea of he was making like 17. And it wasn't just, oh, well, you only had to pay him 17. It was like the trade was really easy as far as like.
Well, they would have had to pay him too, right? They
yeah, but you would. But as you built the trade, now you build the trade, you got to get it up to like, you know,
It's got to be Jimmy. Which, and they're not moving from Jimmy.
Jimmy Butler, you know, he didn't win them the game that they necessarily needed to try to get Steph Curry back in the Minnesota series. But there's a lot of belief in the Jimmy Butler fit next to Steph Curry. And there's a lot of commitment to kind of that duo in, you know, unless like, you know, Giannis is the type of name that we're talking. But
well, how about, okay, I'll just throw this. Do you think the Kevin Durant stuff is dead? Or do you think that could bubble up again?
I don't hear any Durant to the Warriors noise currently at this current moment. And you do hear a lot of buzz in the league that the Durant market is moving and it's probably going to be the first domino this summer. And the draft is, what, 2 weeks away about at this point? And that by draft night, that domino might fall. And the fact that, you know, who knows? I started hearing the Durant noise maybe 10 days before the deadline. And it really built up to like 3 days before the deadline. And then it died, right? And I think we've kind of been told more specifics in the aftermath of how it started, how close it got, and how it fell apart. So I'm not saying it can't happen, but I mean, to me, you're hearing more like the Spurs, the Timberwolves, the Heat type names.
The Knicks.
Yeah, there's reasons you're not necessarily hearing the Warriors. And honestly, it's Jimmy Butler. I mean, like, Jimmy, I'm not saying Jimmy Butler's a better player than Kevin Durant, but Jimmy Butler's a content, happy to be here, Golden State Warrior, who just with this iteration of the Warriors had a very strong finish of the season, helped them win in the first round. And, you know, I think the Warriors are looking themselves in the mirror, this top end version of the roster in the mirror, saying it works, it fits. Kevin Durant did not want to be there at the deadline. And also that trade's not like his – doesn't Phoenix want younger assets and, you know, quicker to get off contracts and, you know, easier to piecemeal picks and stuff like that, number one. And number two, like, look, Butler or Durant right now for the Warriors, and you need to take everything into context, including the star's desire to be on a particular team. Wouldn't you just stay with Butler?
Yeah, I would get aggregated if I said that, by the way, Slater, what you just said. So maybe you'll get aggregated. But and also the other thing is Butler signed for one plus one. He's 2 years. If you acquire Kevin Durant, who would be great, no question, you wouldn't need to sign him for 3 years. If he wanted to, he might not sign another contract. So then he's a free agent after a year, or you have to sign him for three more years. I think the Butler contract fits their timeline because in their minds, okay, he's matched with Steph. And if this thing ends, all the contracts come up, him, Draymond, and Steph all at the same time. They will want to continue to extend Steph. Clearly they should. But the timing for that contract with this era is right for them, and the Durant thing might be a little off. Here's a question for you now. As this was all spinning around, when the Suns theoretically were going to get Butler, how was that going to happen?
When you're talking at the deadline?
They were going to, wasn't that whole,
well, initially it was like their you know, 2 month quest was to use Bradley Beal, and they scoured the league for 2 months, and they were like, okay. they were There's so much.
I'm just saying, if there's an interest in Butler on Phoenix's side, but I assume that was mostly just put Butler with Durant and Booker, right?
That was literally a 2-month quest that was, you know, some people in the league would say it was delusion. This idea that they were going to, you know, they tried everywhere to, and Bradley Beal sitting there saying, like, nah, I'm not.
Yeah, exactly.
Josh Bartlestein was running a lot of the negotiations, and Mark Bartlestein was Beal's agent, and Mark Bartlestein's going out and like on a record and being like, he's not waving his no trade clause, but it was like, no, just give it another few days.
Yeah.
That's really why the Warriors got Jimmy Butler, is because of Bradley Beal's no trade clause.
I just wondering if there was an interest in Butler above and beyond matching him with Durant and Phoenix, if Booker wanted him for some reason.
Yeah, I think the difference of what you kind of mentioned, but back then, and we're talking back in January, February, it was to pair Booker, Durant, and Butler as their big three to try to make a run and make a, you know, try to win a title last season and this upcoming season. But that went so poorly. They were unable to get Butler. They were unable to convince Beal that Durant wanted out by then, right? Because he suddenly was on the block, and that surprised him. And now Phoenix clearly is shifting its priorities. Like, they're not going to ever say rebuild, and Ishbia's got his own things, but like, they're not in the world they were, where they're trying to like go hunt it down with the Durant core. Like, they're trading Kevin Durant.
But even in the middle that they cash out one of their first round picks to get multiples, and they're okay, they're going to trade those multiples. That was
That's why I use the word delusion, because up until the end, they were still hinting like, hey, maybe we can still find a Beal trade.
I forgot the Beal part of it. It's hilarious to me. I forgot that part. Any sense, any indication of any movement on what they might be doing with Kuminga? I mean, listen, they're going to put out signals that they could keep him, right? They have to say that. It could be what they do, as you sketched out. You can trade the whole contract in December. You can't trade the whole contract now. Behooves them to keep all their options open. Do you think that's a real thing?
Do you think
that's the position right now?
I do think it's a real thing, because I think the market dynamics are working in, you know, the Warriors' favor or non-Warriors, whatever. The market dynamics are working in a way where it's seeming to make sense for both Kuminga and the Warriors to come back together. Even if it's, you know, an unpleasant partnership, a short-lived partnership that gets revisited, you know, in January, in February. Money and the eventual contract offer is going to matter here. What the market, you know, dictates. The Durant domino really matters in the Kuminga, in really the NBA marketplace, the Durant domino is going to matter a lot. So it is not in any way for sure that Kuminga is going to come back. Look, he's working out. I know he was recently working out in Cleveland, even with AJ DeBonta, the soon-to-be first-round pick, first overall pick, likely of the following draft. He's getting his work in, and I could like there are some options being explored, but market dynamics are what they are. And again, if on June 11th, I would predict a reunion between the two. That can change, and, you know, suitors can emerge, and, you know, dominoes can fall in a place where it makes sense for both sides to split. But as of right now, it is trending that direction.
It's clearly a card the Warriors have to play if it's there. You have to. You can't look away from that. What kind of contract are you looking at? Like a 3-year? 75, something like that. I mean, would they have to pay that kind of money? Would they have to pay more? Like,
the thing is, you might get stuck with it,
right?
I would say two things. That's what the next, you know, month's going to be about, finding the right number potentially there. You don't want to go too high, because you don't want it to, you know, become untradeable. You want to just play, you know, hard in negotiations, right? Just dollar for dollar negotiations, and there's luxury tax implications, and there's apron implications. But also, you don't want to go too low, because, you know, it is your tradable salary potentially, you know, come the summer. And if you still kind of want to have like big ticket salary items to go get, so there's probably something in the somewhere in the 20s that maybe, you know, both sides could meet at. We'll see. You know, I know like the Jalen Green contract's been bounced around as at least part of a structure. Now that's like, I think it started around 30, and it's 3 years, and it's a player option on the third year, which is important to the Jalen Green camp, because if he did explode, does explode, you can get back into restrictive ratings, you know, at 25 or whatever. And that, you know, I think that that structure at a number that that appeals to Kuminga, that that is something I think they'll want to explore, because, you know, Kuminga still has eyes on being that max type player. And even if it doesn't come to fruition now, if you have a 3-year deal with the player option on the third year, if you do explode over the next 2 years, you get back in early and get that max deal if your career ambitions come to be. So there's a lot going on. We'll see where the number lands. And also, what, you know, how the, if there's somebody out there who, you know, doesn't get Kevin Durant, Miami, for example, doesn't get Kevin Durant, maybe that becomes the next thing they really start to explore. And maybe Kuminga does find a contract out there. And then maybe the Warriors can't figure out a creative way to get the type of return they want to give up a Kuminga. We'll see.
I'm projecting a 2+1 if he's coming back to the Warriors, just so he has some, like, you get signed a 3-year deal straight up or 3+1, you don't have as much pressure on the team because your free agency isn't coming up. 2+1 is a little ways that way, but I think there's always a little bit of pressure on the team. Like, hey, he might become a free agent very soon. So the shorter, the better, I would think, at some point for Kuminga. And it also isn't terrible for the Warriors, because they might want to get out of it. I could feel a 2+1, two for 50, 3 for 75, something like that. If it comes back, it would be awkward.
You're saying the plus one is the player.
I
think part of at the end of the day, if it decides that he has to come back, you mentioned the awkwardness. I think some of it, that, you know, will be them having to give up a negotiation cookie a little bit to Kuminga. There, we're saying the 2+1 is the player, because that's not only you know, gets him back in the door and allows you to kind of asset manage, but also, like, you need him to not be completely disgruntled coming in. You're going to have to at least attempt a genuine effort next season of giving him a runway and, you know, giving different lineup combinations a runway to work. And, you know, this is certainly not the exact same situation as Kevon Looney's had over the years, but there's been 9 times we thought Kevon Looney's career with the Warriors was going to end, and it never did. And it still might not this summer.
No.
And I use that to the point of, like, it may feel like, and it definitely felt like during the Houston series, for example, that, like, Kuminga's time with the Warriors is over, and 3-4 weeks from now, it might be over and he might never play another game with the Warriors. But also there's a world where, you know, he comes back and he's really good to start next season, and, like, dynamics at play, whatever, Joe Lacob's dreams come true with Kuminga, and, like, he's with the Warriors throughout the entirety of his next contract. Like, that could possibly happen. So, maintaining a decent working relationship with him matters through this process somewhat. And that, you know, when we're talking 2+1s and the plus one being the player option, that could be one of the things that,
yep,
that you can say in negotiations, hey, we gave you that.
Yep.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll just say, and you know this, but little slight different personalities and feelings in the locker room.
How many times we would have said, well, that's it for Kevon Looney.
No, you're right. You're right. I think even so, Jordan Poole situation, I think, is a little more parallel. Like, you signed him. Myers almost said it at the time. I was shocked when I asked him the question. He answered this way. Sometimes you sign guys and you can trade them later, right? Like, you sign them to maintain the value. That's why you sign them in large part. And that was pre the punch. No, that was after the punch, right? Myers said it before. He said that quote before the punch. Then they signed him after the punch.
Yeah, they signed him right after. The punch landed about, like, 10 days before the extension window. It hurt them in negotiations. Let's be honest. Two things got Jordan Poole more money: that and the Tyler Herro contract that dropped 8 days before or something like that. So.
But I think this is feeling somewhat similar because there was awkwardness, obviously, with the Jordan Poole situation in a lot of different directions. Draymond, obviously. But Clay, for sure, there was awkwardness, real awkwardness with that. So the Kuminga thing might be much more on Steve Kerr than those other ones. But
also, Clay's own situation was awkward. Like, Clay's non-contract extension last year, all that. So
you've got to deal with this stuff when you've got major players and you've got, you know, it's not entirely set who's playing where, what the rotation is, how it all best fits. Now, the coach is pretty sure how it all best fits. We know that. He's been very clear about that. But value is another thing. Making sure you're good in 2 years or you're okay in 2 years or you have somebody you can count on in 2 years is important. The owner's feelings are important. So they've got all these mini dramas. We won't know about them for a while.
Yeah, and the one thing I will say about Steve Kerr, who has obviously made some of his, like, you know, fit on-court fit issues, our opinions clear. He was a GM in Phoenix, as we both know, and he's always been he's voiced that there is a reason there should be separation between coaches and GMs, and he understands, like, asset management and managing owners and managing, you know, when and who to trade a player for and some of the CBA tweaks. Like, he can understand that, like, not everything has to work perfectly and so he can have the best possible roster on October, whatever, when they go to training camp. Like it can be explained to him why this has to happen now, this has to potentially happen later, stuff like that. So that's where I don't think it's, like, unsalvageable, even if, look, we understand he may get 4 games into next season and see that a Kuminga, Butler, Draymond lineup is minus, you know, 10 cumulatively and be like, I told, you know, like, I knew this lineup wouldn't work. But he also, like, he's a coach, and as much sway as his voice has organizationally, he does kind of allow, you know, management to do their thing. And he highly respects Mike Dunleavy. That is not fake when he talks about how good he thinks Mike Dunleavy is at the job.
And that's real. You're right. And I think Dunleavy does, you know, the reason why we're saying this is because Dunleavy really respects him and listens to him. It's weighed. You got to weigh all these things. All these things matter. And then Dunleavy's going to have to figure out. That's why Dunleavy is the general manager. And if they keep Kuminga and it's a little awkward, then Steve Kerr is going to have to figure that out. That's just their jobs. But
and as people will point out to you, even Steve probably himself, it's why he's paid $18.5 million
17, whatever. Yeah. And, you know, they'll deal with it. And I say this much more with baseball than I do with basketball, but it's sort of true. Like, the roster you have on opening night is not necessarily the roster you're going to have in February. So, and the Warriors absolutely proved that by trading half of their roster for Jimmy Butler in February.
Sure. And that's a very good thing to point out because you were around in December and January. The issues that they solved with the Jimmy Butler trade, they were talking about in December. Mm-hmm. This wasn't like they just woke up 2 days before the deadline and were like, oh, man, I think we have this roster flaw, but they couldn't really make the trade until
Traded for Dennis Schroeder first, right?
Yeah, they tried the quick fix, and pretty soon they realized that didn't work. But I guess the point is, like, Dunleavy struck when he felt that the leverage and the situation was right, and he got Butler when it was available. And so even if you can identify a problem now, sometimes it isn't the proper time to move on the problem just because of marketplace dynamics.
The funny thing is, when I asked Dunleavy about it a week after the trade, like, hey, you know, the timing of it, and I was asking more like, you could have waited it out because, like, you know, maybe the value might have even gone down. And he's like, oh, he interpreted like he should have done it earlier. I think they could have done it earlier, but they were holding off. You had the Durant thing and other things. Like, he said, like, the deal was on the table. But yeah, maybe I should have done it earlier because it would have jump started us faster. And I just did not think of it that way. But it clearly tells you how badly Miami wanted to do that deal, and maybe faster than we thought. And also that the Warriors were holding off because they thought they could get Durant.
Yeah, I think protection. The Durant stuff mattered. I think, you know, some of the, you know, it ended up being like a wider trade with, you know, remember they were trying to send Kyle Anderson to Toronto. That didn't work. Schroeder goes to Detroit.
But also, Miami really wanted Wiggins. Like, they wanted Wiggins, which is a key part of this. And I keep bringing up, Wiggins is still a good player. I just don't love when Warrior fans just trash him. I mean, the guy still has value in this league, and Miami thought so too. Okay, man, we thought we were going to do 25 minutes, and we went through 36.
We doubled it. All right, I got a finals to cover.
Yeah, so. NBA finals in Indiana. We did not even mention the – yeah. I was at minicamp yesterday. 49ers there at minicamp. I'm not going again, but
can I go to Colts minicamp? I see I'm looking out the window. Yeah. The Colts stadium's right here. I don't know if they're holding.
Hello to Anthony Richardson and all the whole thing. We got the whole thing going on. All right, wrap it up, Slater.
All right, we will talk to y'all at some point coming up. You got draft. Warriors got the 41st pick later this month, and free agency win, which. You know, the Kuminga situation will theoretically be solved. Again, Durant feels like the first domino this offseason. That will probably have a trickle effect. So whenever that goes down, I think we might have something to talk about.
See ya, Ben.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.